For broadcasting or advertising opportunities, call 1-888-303-3884 or visit wildfireradio.com and click on Contacts.
You are listening to The Straight Shooters exclusively on Wildfire Radio. Subscribe to The Straight Shooters podcast on iTunes by visiting the iTunes store and download every episode on wildfireradio.com. Now, here's Vaughn Johnson and Nick Picone bringing you the latest and greatest in the world of professional wrestling.
Oh, Shooters Radio Universe!
My name, of course, is Vaughn Johnson.
Well, super nerdy pet peeve of mine, nitpicky. I don't think he should have been hopping over the top rope like a parkour champion.
You got me mad now.
What is your name?
As always, with my man, Pots and Pans, Nick Picone.
That's me.
It doesn't matter what your name is.
You know, you got a back dick.
I don't really know us like the things that you do.
I'm Ryan Isley.
What is he doing?
My God! Is he the third man?
He's the third man!
What the hell is going on here?
Straight Shooters is, the number one show on Wildfire Radio.
I'm feeling good.
No sleep, no food, no nothing. Just maniacism.
Well, all the skeptics and all the people have a little bit of... Let me do this again.
Oh, it's live, Hal.
Sorry.
What actually happened on the show? Nothing.
Give me a hell yeah! I said, give me a hell yeah!
What is going on, everyone out there in internet land? My name is Vaughn Johnson, and for the 200th time, you are listening and watching The Straight Shooters. I was going to say episode 200 of The Straight Shooters, but I already mentioned that it's the 200th episode, so I just botched the intro to our 200th episode, which, I mean, I guess it's fitting for how we've operated the show over the last four some odd years. Right. But I'm joined, as always, with my main man, Pots and Pans, for the 200th time. Nick Picone, wow. The Philly voice, the Philly influencer. Nick, how you doing tonight, my good brother? Episode 200.
We made it. It's 200. It's not like we even like had a countdown for when we started this thing. We didn't really know how far it would go. So it's just kind of like surreal to be sitting here for episode 200 where... We're in a crazy time, not only in the wrestling world, but in the real world. It's funny, as we record this, the NBA draft of 2019 is going on, and I'm sure we'll be talking about some moments of our favorite basketball team that actually happened while we were recording an episode of the Straight Shooters live from the studio. Just a whole bunch of memories, and the last 4 years have been awesome. And I thank you for that, because without you, it wouldn't have been possible.
Well, we'll get into that in a little bit, how the show came to be, how this has lasted as long as it has, and its different incarnations. We'll talk about various guests we've had on, different memories, fun times. We'll talk about the Sixers. They encompass a bad time we've had on this show a couple years ago. But before we get into all of that, let me remind you of where you can find this on these here interwebs. Of course, we're on Apple Podcasts. You can find it. You can rate, review, and subscribe to the show on there. Of course, you can do the same on Google Play, Stitcher, iHeartRadio, Spreaker, TuneIn Radio, Player FM, SoundCloud, Spotify, and, of course, the mothership, wildfireradio.com. We can find all 199 prior episodes of The Straight Shooters. Quite the catalog we have here on Wildfire Radio. Thanks to them, as always, for hosting the show. They've been there from the very beginning, literally from the very beginning of the show, and they're still rocking with us to this day. Of course, if you're watching this live on this here special occasion, you'll see that we dressed up for the occasion. Look at me. T-shirt. Nick, T-shirt as well.
So, my patented white T-shirt.
Oh, yeah. And I got my Super Bowl champions gear on, so we're dressed up for the occasion. But yeah, episode 200, of course, is on YouTube as well. You can check us out on there. Search up the Straight Shooters podcast on YouTube. You can watch us live. Of course, you can watch our old episodes on there as well. I think we started on YouTube not long after our 100th episode a couple years ago, which was a wild one. So go into our archives and listen to that. It's too raw for TV, so to speak. like Jerry Springer back in the day. If you're watching this on YouTube right now, of course, you can always interact with us in the chat, which is on the right side of your screen. Your right, my left. Somebody's already in there right now. 82 Atlanta has been rocking with us for a while. And he asked the question, what episode did Vaughn coin out here in these streets catch the out here in these streets catchphrase? What episode did I coin that? Man, to be honest, I don't even know. I couldn't even tell you what episode that came about, but it's been since the YouTube era, I believe, right?
Yeah, yeah. We maybe not right away, but definitely, it's been at least a year, I would think. You've been with the Eagles for a while now, and I'm pretty sure it started before you joined the team over there. So
I don't know.
I could be wrong, but definitely, it's definitely a staple of the show.
Well, if someone has enough time on their hands, so how about they go back, dig through those archives, and tell us? Because I don't know. I can tell y'all, give y'all 100 episode head start and say it wasn't when we were in the Wi-Fi radio studios. I can say that. No. It's one of these shows that's on YouTube where it started. So if y'all got enough time in your hands and you know, y'all got lives to dig through those archives and tell us, because I'd like to know too, honestly, now that you asked, when did that start?
So maybe I'll dive into the archives when we're finished here. So
okay, well, more power to you, fam. I will not. At least not to that in depth.
I don't have a life, so I can do whatever I want. No.
Jeez.
It was the last day of work today for the summer, so I'm flying high right now. Not literally and not even figuratively. That was just a figure of speech. I am not high at all.
not even for the 200th episode?
No. Even if I was, I don't think you would be able to figure it out. Because I act the same. I would act the exact same.
Probably not. So we got a lot to talk about. So you say, at least.
Yes.
We got a lot to talk about on the show, of course. We're going to tell y'all a little bit about how this show came to be. I'll give you a little peek behind the curtain. I don't know if we've really done that too much before. Talk about how the show came to be and how it's progressed and evolved over the years. And then we're going to at some point, we might get to Stomping Grounds. I know somebody out there is anxiously awaiting our predictions for Stomping Grounds. Well, look, this pay-per-view ain't really worth a damn, honestly.
Bro, like, my cat doesn't even care about Stomping Grounds.
And you know your cat cares about all this stuff.
Well, you've never talked to my cat like I have, so.
Oh, well, that's true.
she's very bored with the WWE product.
As most people are right now, so. And the name is crappy as well. I can't get over the fact that it's called Stomping Grounds. But, I mean, if it's any consolation, the next pay-per-view is going to be in Philly? Extreme Rules?
Yeah, with it still. Like, I don't have a problem with the name Extreme Rules, but that logo is, like, just... It's, like, it second-grade logo, man. Like, I'm done with the kiddie-type logos, man. I don't know.
It's time for an upgrade. Like, time for a change. Yeah. You need to refresh, right? It's not like the logo it's got now has like sold a bunch of tickets and sold a bunch of pay-per-views.
Yeah.
I mean, why not?
Yeah. And the last July pay-per-view that was here was Battleground, and that didn't go over too well. So I'm not looking forward to Extreme Rules at all, and we don't even know what's going to happen there yet.
I don't know how many times we've had July pay-per-views, but like I said, the last one we had here was hot garbage.
Yeah.
Punjabi prison match with the Great Khali. Stomping down to the ring. My God.
And we were on the floor, right? And we were right there with the cage, the bamboo, whatever. And we could barely even see. And we were up close. So you could clearly see, like on TV, you can't see that well. But up close, it almost felt like it was worse. And I was kind of like, why the hell am I here?
Yeah,
it's Randy Orton in a main event. Like,
it was really bad. Someone chimes in the chat that, now that WWE is PG, they can't use One Night Stand anymore. Which is, I mean, yeah, that wasn't a great name anyway. That was really for the ECW brand.
Yeah, that should have stayed like that.
It didn't make any sense to call it One Night Stand once they got away from the ECW stuff, though.
That, and even like the second One Night Stand, it should have been a different name. Maybe. Bring back an old ECW name, Hardcore Heaven, like any of that stuff.
I can see that.
That would have worked.
One Night Stand worked because it's like the one night that they went extreme. Right.
And, yeah, I think that was 2005, and that was, like, awesome. You know, great pay-per-view.
Right.
And And then it's just the second time they did it. And then they WWE-ized it after that for a few years. And it was just the lame, one of the lamest names that they've come up with.
Yeah, like I said, once I got away from ECW, it was trash. But when it was ECW, it's that one night a year they went extreme, went to ECW style, and it made sense. But if time permits, we will chat about our favorite pay-per-views. Because, look, I mean, we can talk about how bad WWE's product is to a blue in the face. We pretty much have over the course of these 200 episodes. I don't really remember a time where we were like universally like just glowing about WWE. There have been peaks and valleys, I'm sure, but this is as rough a time as it's been since this podcast has started. But we'll talk about some of the good times we've had watching WWE or ECW or WCW pay per views, even AEW or Ring of Honor or New Japan. If you got a couple of those in your back pocket. In your memory bank there. So if time permits, of course, because we're really going to focus on the behind-the-scenes aspect of this show. So, Nick, I don't know if you really know the exact dates of everything. You might have looked into it. But I recall back in 2015 sometime, I was working. So let's take you back. Let's take everybody back here. Imagine a world when it's 2015, right? Whoa. And, wow, what a time it is. The Sixers are just terrible. Processes and
Phillies are terrible.
Yeah, it's not a great time in Philadelphia sports. And me and Nick, we've crossed each other's path at this point. We've known each other. Mm-hmm. I think I met you for the first time at the Royal Rumble that year.
Yes. Right. Jim Ross's show, I think, before that, yeah. Right? Jim Ross had
Jim Ross had a show. And it's funny, that whole weekend was wild. I gotta think about it. Because this is before, this is before WWE really started putting a lot into those big four shows, right? I mean, they always put a lot, but there wasn't like an NXT special that weekend, right? This is before that. So, but other wrestling promotions would come here. So, the Royal Rumble was here, but also Ring of Honor was here the night before. Now, I remember me and the good brother Sawyer, who's been a guest in the show numerous times, multiple times. So shout out to Sawyer. Yep. Me and him went to Ring of Honor at the 2300 Arena, which you can hear about an episode of. We spent a whole episode on the 2300 Arena on Patreon, patreon.com/shootersradio. We can find more exclusive content, including our live commentary on the 1994 King of the Ring, where Owen Hart won King of the Ring 20 years ago yesterday. So years ago yesterday. Yeah. I'm sorry. So check that out on Patreon, patreon.com/shootersradio for the nominal fee of $1.99. But back to my story. Me and Sora were out at 2300 Arena. We went to a after party of sorts at a bar and grill across the street from 2300 that was hosted. I want to say it was hosted by Andrew Goldstein.
Yes, yes.
And you were there too, right?
I didn't go to the Ring of Honor show, but I did go to the after party. Yep.
Right. We were there, me, Sawyer, Nick, Andrew Goldstein. I think Peter Rosenberg was there.
And Mick Foley's daughter showed up. Noelle showed up because she was in town. And I don't know if
Dewey Foley was there.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a funny story. Dewey Foley was there with a Cactus Jack shirt on, of course. And Larry Legend, who's a ring announcer for multiple promotions, he was there as well. And it was a good time. We had fun that night.
Dude, it was awesome.
Yeah.
And I think about that night a lot because that was the first time I met that's the first time I met Goldstein in person. Like we had had him on the show, but this is before we started the show. So, met him for the first time.
It might have been the first time I met him.
Met a few people.
I met Goldstein at – I want to say I met him the first time at WrestleMania in New Orleans the year before. We had talked on the phone a couple times before that because I interviewed him for stories. But, yeah, that was a good time, though. And shout out to Andrew Goldstein. He's been on the show multiple times in the past. Definitely, looked out for us as far as interviews and stuff like that. So shout out to him as well. But, yeah, that was a good time. And the next day, of course, like you said, was the Royal Rumble. But earlier in the day – was Jim Ross's show, the spoken word show, when those are just starting to become a thing in wrestling. The spoken word thing, Jim Ross had his, I want to say, at the theater for like live arts, I think it's called.
Was it Underground Arts?
I think that's it. Underground Arts. That sounds
Right. Yeah, I believe the location moved. Like
it did.
It's that weekend or something. Yeah. Yes.
It was a bit of Trocadero, and they got moved to, I think it was called Underground Arts. I think that sounds right. Somewhere I think it was Fairmount or no, somewhere downtown. I forget exactly where it was. But so we met there, and I was already writing for Philly.com wrestling stuff. Nick, I think you might have just started with Philly Voice, so you just
That was right before. So I had my own blog, bleedphilly.com, and I was covering actually for that, like my own personal blog. And so it was only a few months later that I started with Philly Voice.
Right. So, and it might have been, were you with Philly Voice before we started the pod, or was
yes.
it?
Yes. Okay. Yep.
So once Nick got to Philly Voice, I'm at philly.com. I didn't have a podcast at this point, and I was like, and obviously at this point, even in 2015, wrestling podcasts were big. I mean, now they're everywhere, obviously. There were a lot of them back then, too. But now some wrestling podcasts, they're like the top podcasts in the world. I mean, you talk about Something to Wrestle with Bruce Pritchard. You talk about Jim Ross's podcast. You talk about Eric Bischoff's podcast, Stone Cold Steve Austin's podcast. And he was like the originator of like the wrestler having his own podcast. Steve Austin kind of innovated that. But most of this was just like fans having their podcasts. But, you know, I was like, man, I don't even have a podcast. You know, I want to do one though, because I wanted to kind of expand my horizons. You know, I was writing a lot. Yeah. Obviously, I had done some videos with CineSport, who we had like a deal with Philly.com, which has since gone out of business.
I remember that. Like yeah. I remember you had like Raw recaps, something like that.
Yeah, and eventually I think we eventually did SmackDown and I think some pay per view recaps.
Okay.
As well, but that's neither here nor there. The point is, I was like, you know, I could do a podcast. I want to try to do one. And I don't think Philly.com, still to this day, don't really do a lot of podcasts. I think they might have an Eagles podcast. And they may do a Sixers one here and there. But the podcast is not, well, it's not Philly.com anymore. It's Inquirer.com. Sorry. But back then, it was still Philly.com. And so really doing something with them wasn't really all that feasible. Despite the fact that there was a gigantic soundboard at 801 Market Street. It might still be there. That no one really used. Ridiculous. There's a super expensive soundboard with no podcast. But so just sitting around one day and I was like, let me hit up Nick Bacone, because he's in the city and we're both pretty much doing the same thing. So why not combine forces here? You know, we work for technically, I guess we can call ourselves competing.
Yeah, I guess so.
Philly.com and Philly Voice, especially since, you know, I don't know if people know this. A lot of people from Philly.com left to start up Philly Voice. And there's still some.
I know that all too well. I can get into some of that later, but I definitely, that was part of the reason why I was doing what I was doing, because a lot of the Philly.com guys were going to Philly Voice. And even though I had my foot in there, I was kind of like relegated to only wrestling, but I took it head on, you know, like it was, something that, you know, during the interview process of Philly Voice, I applied for the sports editor position and I was among the finalists and I felt really good about it. But so Matt Mullen, they're now still there. Rich Hoffman got hired. And so they were hiring two for that position. And in the interview process, I had mentioned how I cover wrestling and, you know, the person interviewing me at the time was like, we'll keep that in mind. And so that's kind of like that's how my affiliation with Philly Voice and with the wrestling aspect.
And it's funny,
WWE got started.
And it's funny because they definitely wanted some wrestling because I used to work with them and I was doing wrestling stuff at Philly.com.
Yep.
And they saw that stuff I was doing was good and good traffic.
Does numbers.
Right. Yep. Does numbers. And I'm assuming for whatever website you talk about, whether it's, there's a reason why all these mainstream sites are having wrestling stores in their sites, because they do traffic. They do well as far as traffic. ESPN, CBS, you name it. So they were like, we still want that traffic. You know, they weren't going to pay anybody full-time money to write just wrestling. They didn't see it as that important, unfortunately. But they were willing to pay somebody to do something to get that traffic. And that's where Nick came in, I would assume.
Yeah, it was on a freelance basis because what I had applied for, they had filled those positions. So, you know, it was kind of like it was a punch in the gut, but at the same time, I still had something to work with them for. I was like, it's my foot in the door. Maybe in the future, Philly Voice will be something that I pursue more so than just wrestling. But at that time, I believe it was March of 2015, where I began covering Raw and SmackDown every week. I basically did my pitch to them, and I'm like, these are the two biggest shows. TNA was on a downward spiral at that point.
Ooh, was it?
So I was like, I probably am not going to touch that unless they sign like a big name, like a Kurt Angle or something again, where definitely in 2006, I would have done a huge number of hits on that. But there was nothing really there. New Japan wasn't where they are now in terms of their American, you know, the American landscape of what they're doing. Ring of Honor, like even locally in Philly, they were good, but like they weren't moving the needle either in terms of they had a weekly show, but at that time, I don't think I had access to it anyway. So there was no sense in doing everything weekly for Ring of Honor for that. So WWE was the main focus, and I said, okay, Raw and SmackDown, even though this was before the brand split, the second brand split. So SmackDown didn't really mean anything in the grand scheme of things, but I felt like if storylines progressed, I should cover both shows every week. And that's kind of where it started. So I started doing Raw, SmackDown, and pay-per-views for WWE around March of 2015.
And at this point, I was already doing that. I was doing that for Philly.com. I'd covered WrestleMania, it's been in the Ring of Honor, cover shows in the area, stuff like that. And me and him started pretty much interviewing a lot of the same people, covering a lot of the same shows. We were at a lot of the same shows at Ring of Honor. We were at house shows together, just always running into each other. So I was like, let me hit up Nick one day. Like, hey, Nick, you want to do a podcast together? I think it'd be cool. And Nick was like, you know what? I've already hit up Wildfire Radio to do such a thing. like,
well, that's it was convenient. Like divine intervention or something.
All right, like that's super convenient. Now I have to ask you, would you have done this podcast by yourself? Would you have asked somebody to host it with you? What if I had never texted you? What would have happened?
Man, like that, and it's funny that I think about that now. Like, I honestly don't know. back in the summer of 2014, this is when Wildfire was just starting up. They were starting to get things together in their own studio, which was in Collingswood, New Jersey, before they moved, and then they moved again. So where they are now compared to where they were in 2014, so different. They had some syndicated shows. Mitch Williams even had a podcast on Wildfire Radio, and Glenn Macnow, you know, was there, and they were slowly building these guys. Big Daddy Graham from WIP, like those were like the mainstays. So when they actually reached out to me in the summer of 2014, I remember I was like working at a camp for the summer, and I get a direct message on Twitter from Wildfire. I was like, hey, like, would you be open to doing a podcast? Blah blah blah. And I was like, hell yeah, like that'd be awesome. And so eventually I went to visit the studio and just kind of got a feel of like what it looked like and what I could do. The main content of that was going to be sports. You know, I was just going to hit on, you know, the Philly sports scene, and I was taking notes, you know, what I could do. Like, it was my own show. I was like, oh, this is cool. And then it's funny because you said like, would I have done it by myself? And I kind of thought about it after I took these notes, and I'm like, damn, I don't think I can. Like, who? If I'm not getting callers, even if I am getting callers, can I talk for like at least a full hour about sports? Like, I don't know. I've never done it before. Like, I've done interviews here and there, but an hour of like, you just listen to sports radio, even on the air, FM, AM airwaves, it's not easy. So as a podcast, when you don't really have commercials, especially when you're starting out, when you're not selling advertising yet, you got to go like a full hour. So I think I kind of doubted myself that I could do such a thing. So I didn't start anything at that point because, I mean, it was sports. So I was like, what can my show do to be different about sports, you know, whatever. So I kind of put it on the back burner a little bit. And almost, I didn't really forget about it, but I just kind of told Wildfire I don't think I was ready to do something. Like, I would have to do more, like, kind of, I guess, psychologically prepare more if I can really do it. Because it was, like, getting into podcasting, back then, even 2015, it wasn't like I had this thought process that if I'm not good on the mic, or if people think I'm not good, will I be able to handle the criticism and all that? So it was like a mental thing that I had to overcome with that. So by the time you reached out to me about doing like a wrestling podcast, I think I was finally over that, like self-confidence issue. Like, could I do it? And I was like, oh, with Vaughn as a co-host, like, of course I'd be able to do it. And I think it was the perfect fit because, you know, we know so much about wrestling, and wrestling is a huge passion of mine. So I could talk for hours about it and not have to worry about anything, because in sports, you got to pay attention to so many moving parts at once. And wrestling's kind of the same way, but when I'm as passionate as I am about wrestling, it's kind of easy for me to talk about it, to stay up to date with everything. And, you know, when the WWE Network came up, you know, I started watching like all the stuff I watched when I was growing up. You know, like, I just remember all the stuff that when I started watching at 5 years old. So it just felt like an easy fit. And I think when I first saw the email, I don't know how long it took me to reply, but I was just like, hell yeah. And
I sent you an email, I sent you a text, but either way, it was,
I don't remember. I don't remember. Communication. I just remember sitting down and looking at my phone. Could have been email, could have been a text.
And I probably still had that email in my inbox.
This is it. So
I probably still had that email in my inbox to this day. Let me see. It would have been,
no, you know, I think it was an email, because I think I emailed with you, copied, I emailed like Wildfire Radio or something like that, because me and them had already like talked to each other, and I was like, hey, like, we want to do a wrestling podcast. And no one on that station was doing a wrestling podcast. Like you said, there were wrestling podcasts out there, but like Philly centric, where we could really sink our teeth into the Philly wrestling scene too, with some of the independent shows that we talked about a lot on, especially when we started the podcast. That was different. So
I think I got it. I might. Hold on a second. No, that's with 2015? You. And, that's with you. And that's when we first started emailing Jim Grasso. He said, Got some great news. Philly.com's Vaughn Johnson and I would like to work together to do a wrestling / sports podcast. Have you in a wrestling, not in a regular sports. We just talked about it today. In parentheses, Vaughn's idea, and we would love to come in and sometime maybe do a demo first. Still need to iron out some details, but I wanted to email you to let you know of our interest. When's good to come in? What?
when is good to come in?
When is good? You know, you use a contraction there, Nick. Come on, baby.
Yeah, I gotta go edit that email now.
Yeah,
I'll resend it.
That's late June 2015. That's June 26th.
Oh, well, June, okay.
June 26th.
So, it was about 2 months after I started a Philly Voice.
Let me look for the original email if I can find it. I don't know if I can, though.
Oh, the one that you sent?
Yeah.
To me?
Yeah, I guess June. Here we go. All right. No, this isn't it. This is like you telling me about Wildfire. June 26th. I'm going to find that original email. Why can't I find it? I don't know. This isn't great podcasting right now. You didn't listen. Listen to our 200th episode for this.
I see what you mean.
Either way, we did eventually do that demo in July 2015 when we previewed Battleground, I believe, that year. Which everything always comes back to Battleground, apparently. With us in this podcast.
Freaking Battleground.
Yeah, but we previewed the 2015 edition of Battleground for our demo show at the WildfireRadio.com studios. And it went kind of well, right? From what I remember, it went well. Well enough that they said, okay, you guys are good to do the show. Mm-hmm. And off we went. But what do you have any specific memories about that demo show at all?
I was nervous.
I do not remember our first show at all, but I remember that demo show for some reason. I don't know why.
You know, we were in the studio and it was just like kind of surreal. I was like, man, this is like really happening. I was a little nervous because, you know, if the demo sucked, they could have easily been like, maybe we'll wait out a little bit. Maybe you can come back and do another demo. And so, like, I never knew what to expect, you know, and especially when it's just like a pay-per-view preview. It's not like we're talking about anything, but still, like, I don't think that was ever published on their website. It might have been, but I do have it downloaded. I do have it saved on my computer. Boy. But maybe I'll put that on Patreon for people don't want to search for it.
I'll put it on that myself, man. That's
you know what? I'll put our demo on Patreon.
Even though it's only 4 years ago, it seems like ages ago. Like, yeah, it seems like such a long time ago.
It's funny because the studio at the time wasn't like as big as it eventually became before they even moved to their new studio now. So there was only one room with one recording equipment with like a table. And I think there were two mics, at maybe three. And they were doing some like recording at the time with some of these variety type shows. So we were like the first wrestling podcast that went there to record. And we had, I believe Taylor was producing behind the glass. Taylor was a great producer before Justin replaced him, just because we had to switch nights, and we'll get into that. But it was like, I think I finally got like the jitters out of my system. You know, I don't even remember how the demo went, but I just remember kind of being relieved after it was over, and it was only about a half hour or so, because we weren't sure, like, they had built in like half hour increments. So it's like, are we going to do a half hour? Are we going to do an hour? It just made sense to do an hour or so. We would rent out the studio space for an hour to do our show. We'd be after the Ava Graham hour and then before Wrestle Rock, when Wrestle Rock came on board to do another wrestling show. So we were like the wrestling block later on that year. But, you know, it was just like really cool. Like, being in that setting is the first time I did anything like that. And it was fun.
Yeah, I remember it being fun as well. And then from there, we just kind of took off. I mean, like, we just kept doing it. We loved talking about wrestling. We started getting guests on the show. I remember when we had, like I said, Andrew Goldstein on the show. I remember we had Jim Ross on the show. We had Tommy Dreamer on the show way in the beginning. Man, Anthony Bennett, when he was in the Cruiserweight Classic, that worked out, like, that came together, like, real smooth when we realized, you know, he's from Paulsboro, I think it was, or he's from, he's from Paulsboro, but he lived in
Westville, yeah.
Something like that, and of course, he was trained at the Monster Factory, and then he got announced at the Cruiserweight Classic, so he was like, let's make this happen, fam, and he came into the studio, so that was cool. That was one of the earlier episodes, and of course, recently, we had the Blue Meanie, but we had our share of like friends of the show as well, people who have recurring guests, you know, essentially friends, essentially our third man, Brian Isley, who was conspicuous by his absence tonight.
He was pumped to get on here, so we'll have to get him on soon.
Yeah, but he was pumped to come on our show, period, back in the day, and he's like,
yeah, he was
like, wrestling, I want to talk about wrestling.
Somebody from Wildfire had either emailed me or texted me and said, hey, we have this other host, Brian, who is a big wrestling fan, and he was wondering if, you know, you'd be able to do, just work something out. Maybe we would be on his show. Or that was when Boombox Life was a big hit on Wildfire Radio. And it was like, either we would go on there or he would come on our show. So I think he reached out to me via email, and it was history. You know, he talked about how much he loved wrestling, and he came on the first show. I don't remember what episode number it was, but it was relatively early. It was, you know, 2015-ish, the fall of 2015. So we had just started in the summer of 2015. So it wasn't that long after we started, and he became a mainstay along with a lot of his friends from Boombox Life that they knew of wrestling and they liked wrestling too. So it was like, almost kind of like a, you know, yeah, come on, like, if come on the show, like, talk about wrestling. And it was just fun.
I'm thinking now, maybe I texted you and then maybe we contacted Jim Grasso through email. Maybe, because I can't find that email.
Man,
so I don't know. I don't feel like digging through my text neither. So
no, you know what? You're probably right. You probably did text me, and then, you know, I probably set up that email just because. Why would you email me about that? It would be a lot easier to just text.
Eh, possibly. Somebody asked, when is Straight Shooters merch coming out? I don't know.
We probably should write the Straight Shooters on my white t-shirt.
And so that might work.
That's another thing, though. Like, we, you know, we just love talking about wrestling, and we never really looked, I guess, at any of the merch things. But, hey, never say never. Maybe people will want to see our faces on their clothes.
Maybe.
Or our sweet logo.
Just Straight Shooters, yeah. I mean, you never know. But, yeah, like you said, this is more of a labor of love than anything else. We just love talking about wrestling. Yeah. We get to do that for at least an hour every single week.
By the way, before we came up with the name The Straight Shooters, did you remember how you introduced our demo?
I do not.
We were the no-name wrestling show.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that was a stupid name I thought of. I think I thought of that. The no-name wrestling show.
Yeah, I don't remember. Like, I think we were just going over ideas on the ride to the studio, and then I came up with something I don't remember, and then I think you were just like set on no name because it was a demo. So as long as we had a name for the first episode, I guess it didn't really matter for the demo. But yeah. You had mentioned no name, I think, in the car, so that was pretty funny.
Yeah, just, I don't know, like, because everybody had a clever name or something like that, and, like, we're the no-name one. We don't have a name, so I don't know. But we Straight Shooters, I don't know which one of us came up with that, but it stuck, and here we are today.
I believe it was, we were sitting in the studio, and I don't remember the one I came up with. It might have been too long, and then I think you're just like, Straight Shooters, because I was like, oh, that could be one word. And you're like, nah, let's make it two.
Nah, let's not do that.
So, yeah, we definitely, after the demo, I think we were just sitting in the studio for a little bit longer and just waiting to come up with a name. So I think we came up with it after we recorded the demo, and the rest is history.
Somebody else in the chat says we should have an Out Here in These Streets t-shirts and hats, which is like, yeah, I can see that. Maybe.
It's not bad.
That's not bad at all.
Twitter handle on the bottom.
Yeah. Shooters Radio. At Shooters Radio, where you can follow us on Twitter.
Or that. Or ours, yeah. I mean, and make sure it's Vaughn M. Johnson.
Yeah, because that Vaughn Johnson guy is an imposter. He still exists out here in these streets with my handle. But it's all right, though. I'm verified. He ain't. Nobody knows who the hell he is. Damn it.
That's right.
So, what are some of your favorite moments in Straight Shooters history off the top of your head that you can think about?
Oh, man. And I think I have this soundbite somewhere. Maybe I'll post that on Patreon, too. I forget what event it was. I guess we were going over a wrestling show. Just maybe it was an NXT show, a takeover show. And we were talking about Asuka. And,
oh, boy.
I guess Brian was with us, and some maybe Bill was too. Bill Matz,
I think Billy Matz was there for that. Shout out to Billy Matz, by the way.
Yeah,
and Ava like, Graham, both of them.
Yeah, I think you said something like, "Don't get Asuka mad; she'll kick your face off," or something like that. And I said, verbatim, I was like, I'm down with that. I'd be down with that.
And we were like,
everybody just stopped what they were doing. And even Taylor played like a clip, like, what? And, you know, it just spiraled from there. And I said, I liked being kicked. And I don't know.
Even like, my thought that process, today just makes me go, what in the hell are you talking about?
So at heart, I just like making people laugh, you know, like a cheap joke always to make people laugh always makes me feel good. You know, it makes me laugh, like, cause humor is how I get by. And,
you sure aren't afraid to make a fool out of yourself.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm not afraid to do that. And, so I don't know where that, like, it wasn't like I was planning for when you brought up Asuka to say, haha, I like being kicked. It was so out of nowhere. And, you know, after I first said it, I'm like, what the hell's going on right now? And then I just had to go with it. Like, why would I stop there? So double down on it and just say I like being kicked. And then everybody lost it. I don't think we got back on track for another like 5 minutes.
Cause it took a while.
I think you were trying to,
oh yeah, I was trying to get this back.
Talk about a Samoa Joe match or something like that. And said he hit the muscle buster and Brian was like, yeah, did you like that, Nick? And we got off the rails again. So I think that was one of the first moments where like we just kind of lost our way. We always had like a good idea of what we're going to do. Like I was a nerd. I would at work, I prepare for the show, do like a format of the date and everything like that. And just some topics we could hit on. So that was one of the very first times where we just kind of threw that out, I guess, and just did whatever. And the other time when you actually threw out the format right away was when I forgot to change the date on it.
And I said the date. I'm like Ron Burgundy on the top of the sheet. If it says that date, I'm going to say it.
Yeah,
I'm going to read it. And it said August, and I think we were in September or something like that.
Yeah.
And I was like, it's August. It says 20, was it 16 or whatever it was?
Yeah.
And I was like, wait a minute, that's not the right date. damn.
I knew it right away. You could hear me on all the audio go, huh. And then you're like, well, did I get the date right? And Brian's like, no. and then you just... It was what a way to start the show.
We've had so many botched starts on here. how about the time we talked about Aunt Viv?
Yes.
Dark skin Aunt Viv, a light skin Aunt Viv.
Yeah, I got in deep shit for that.
Mind you, this is nothing to do with wrestling. We talked about Blockbuster Night. Before it was Netflix and Chills, a Blockbuster Night. the time was one of the funniest things that I remember on this show, and it's still funny to this day. Every time I hear it, I laugh at it. Excuse me. It's when we played It's a Bicycle on the show. And apparently, Brian Isley had never heard this before. And we played that on the show. And man, I hadn't laughed that hard in years. Probably still hadn't laughed that hard. That was hysterical.
The funny thing is, like, I almost remember hearing about it, but I totally forgot about it. So when I heard it the first time on the show, I was like, how would I miss that? Like, and it's the funniest thing ever because like he was so into it. And what was it, like Big Bubba or something?
Yeah, Big Bubba versus JL.
Yeah, and like that, a Saturday night match, like WCW didn't, like that program didn't matter at all at that point. But Dusty made it matter just with that simple line. So I think it was the very next week. I was like, I got to get that in the intro. And shout out to Taylor. He, I think after about 4 or 5 weeks, we finally had an intro to our show. And, I sent him, some of the clips I wanted and the backdrop of Brock Lesnar's theme song, which I still think is one of the greatest theme songs in wrestling history. And I always will. So I think that'll always be a part of this show that backdrop theme song. So, but we've had the clips change, throughout the course of the show. And, I had to get, he got a bicycle in there. And, every time I listen to like our podcast, anywhere, and I have to listen to the intro because it's just like amazing. Cause when I'm listening to the other podcasts, I, skip through it. I don't have time. Especially it's usually when I'm driving anyway. So I don't have time to listen to that crap. But our intro is awesome. So everyone should listen to it at all times.
Yeah, that was so damn funny. I think that was episode 75 or 76, something like that, somewhere around there, maybe 74. Man, we were on the floor laughing at that, man. I don't know who was in here riding it. But he wasn't on it when he got into the ring. I was like,
yeah, and we played the whole clip too. We played the whole clip, not just he got a bicycle. So that was great.
That was really funny. When it was episode 69, and we pranked Brian Isley with the porn music for episode 69. He was like, "Whoa!"
Dude, like I would always give him a heads up. I would give him a text like, "Hey, we're going to talk about this, and this." I didn't necessarily need to tell him how we were going to intro episode 69. He should have realized it. That's not our fault. Yeah. So he went and he started cracking up and, he didn't come back for another like 5 minutes. And then he's like, you gotta tell me about this and talk about his sponsors and whatnot.
Sponsors. Our live commentaries have always been great.
It was great.
The one we did about the 97 Royal Rumble was classic. One of my favorite live commentaries that we've done. We also did the WrestleMania tournament. Remember that? The old the bracket we did for WrestleMania before WrestleMania, I think before WrestleMania 32.
Yeah, it was before 32 because that would have been, Yeah, you're right. Because we weren't doing the podcast after 31, so definitely.
Yeah, so
it
had
to be. It was like WrestleMania 1 through 31, I believe, was the table.
And we
left
it
some out.
No, I made it to 24, a 24 event bracket. So we cut out 7 of them. And, of course, we got to WrestleMania 17. It's probably the reason why we haven't really done it since, because I think this answer will still be WrestleMania 17.
Yeah, you know, like
It'd be fun to try to maybe do it again when we get to, another even number, I guess. We've got 35 of them. I mean, now maybe we could do 32 and then cut off 3 if we really wanted to. But maybe we do that next year.
We can cut out 17 and 30.
Maybe, because we know that's probably going to be the final 2 again, right?
Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe we do a bracket for the worst.
That would be good.
That would be a good one. The worst WrestleManias of all time. That's something to keep in the can for next year, folks.
There
we go. We're around 230 or something like that of the Straight Shooters. But that was fun, putting that together and doing that whole thing.
We had a whiteboard and everything. That was cool.
Yeah. People couldn't see it on the podcast, but trust us, we had it all laid out.
We took a picture and uploaded it.
Yeah, we had it all laid out. It was a thing. I'm trying to figure out what else.
We would actually broadcast it on Facebook Live, on our Facebook page when we were in the studio. It's different, with the audio and everything. You basically were only able to hear the conversation going on. It wasn't mic'd up or anything, so the audio wasn't as loud as it could have been. But we started using Facebook Live, I think, every week, and we would just set it up in the corner of the room, and you would just have the angle of the entire table. I thought that was pretty cool.
Yeah. So we've had some very fun moments on this show. Moments, boy, I tell you.
The 92 and 97 Rumble live commentaries are probably my two favorites. And we actually, I really can't remember a podcast at that time that was doing the same live commentary type thing. I think we were really cool with doing that. As a new concept. And then we even included the audio, and I thought that was cool. I didn't realize the audio would come through while we were in the studio, but as we were watching it, you were hearing it. And that's something that's missing today. And I don't know, because of copyrights or whatever, but when we do the live commentary now, we don't use audio because, we're not in the studio. It's not connected. Sometimes your computer buffers, sometimes mine buffers. So we got to kind of pause and play and all that. So, but those two, the 97 and 92 Royal Rumbles, were probably my two favorite live commentary episodes. Yeah,
the 97 one was too good. That's a classic. I forget exactly which number that is, but go through the archives. If you haven't listened to that one, it's not on Patreon. This is before we had a Patreon. So go through the archives and listen to our live commentary of the 1997 Royal Rumble. It is, the match itself is way more entertaining when you listen to us talk about it.
Yeah.
I mean,
and listen, if you don't know how to go there, go to Google, type in Wildfire Radio, Straight Shooters, Royal Rumble, 97 live commentary. It should be the first one that pops up. So if you don't want to spend time on our page and scroll through, because I know there's a lot of pages that you have to scroll through, and I think it only has our 50 previous episodes. So, at least on the main page. So go search that. It's still available. And, I have every episode ever downloaded to my computer anyway, so I could always put it on Patreon if it's easier. But it's one of the most – it's so much fun just reliving through that and just the commentary we have. Because, they were talking about Ahmed Johnson. And,
oh, my
God.
Emil Mathuris's awesome. Terrible gear, how he eliminated himself, how Ahmed Johnson eliminated himself.
Mm-hmm.
That was an interesting event to commentate, the 97 Royal Rumble. But it was fun, as you know, we typically do have, we have had on this podcast for now 200 episodes. I mean, like I said, we've had numerous guests from, again, Brian Isley is the third man, Billy Matz, Cal Babcock was on the show once upon a time.
Yeah.
We had Good Brother Sawyer. And again, people who, you know, we had Wrestle Rock on the show. We were on their show a couple times. Derek Badacek. Let's not forget about Derek Badacek. Yeah. He's been on the show.
Connecticut now, I believe.
Yeah, so shout out to Derek Badacek, him and his lovely wife up there in Connecticut. You know, we had, I mean, and again, more famous names like Angel Goldstein, Jim Ross, Tommy Dreamer, Blue Meanie has been on the show multiple times. We'll have him on the show again at some point in the future. Blue Meanie, Anthony Bennett, you know, who's on right before the Cruiserweight Classic. So all the people that we have on the have had on the show. And people, a lot of people come back because, hey, we have fun. You know, we're not trying to drill you down with stupid questions.
Yeah, Eagles beat.
Turn into a shoot interview or something like that. Mike Kay.
Yeah, right? He had told us it was one of the best, most entertaining times he's had, you know, on a podcast. You know, we're here to just have fun. Like, we're not trying to grill anyone, and we're not trying to make anyone feel inferior. So you come on the podcast, talk about wrestling.
We're not gonna try to do a shoot interview with.
Yeah.
Remember, yeah, Jim Ross was on the show, and for one, I interviewed with him when he talked about snooker, made like national headlines. Yeah. That wasn't so great. He had to apologize for that one.
He did.
But you know, he did that. But the one before that, I think it was, he talked about Sam Bradford and Lane Johnson, which was entertaining. Because you know, he's an Oklahoma fan, and they both went to Oklahoma, and they were both playing for the Eagles. Well, Sam Bradford was at the time. Lane Johnson still on the Eagles. Shout out to Lane Johnson. Good guy. But you know, Jim Ross. You get Jim Ross on anything, he'll talk about everything. Ask him questions about anything. We asked him about football, and he's like, "Oh yeah, you know, the Eagles. They got a whole bunch of Oklahoma boys on there." I'm doing a terrible Jim Ross impersonation, but you know,
nah, no one would think that they put you in another clip. They wouldn't know what the difference is.
Oh yeah, yeah, because you know, I just sound exactly like him apparently. So yeah, but you know, we've had so much fun. I remember the show we talked about our first live wrestling experience.
Yeah.
That was a good show.
Yeah, it was like, you know, we've done a few formats here and there. We did like trivia and everything. And I think really like we would talk about the current events and then like have like a topic. And that was one of our first shows. You know, we talked about current events and then our topic was live event experiences. And it was fun because I think Bill was there. We've had Turtle from WIP.
Yeah, he had us in the studio.
We did drafts.
He had us up at WIP doing drafts.
We did two drafts, and neither of us have won.
Yeah, that's such BS.
That's fixed. That's all there is.
Yeah, we haven't done one since 2017, I think.
Yeah.
So maybe we should do one, I guess maybe, I don't know, at some point, but the brands don't even matter anymore. That's the thing. Like, the brands don't even matter anymore.
Maybe when SmackDown goes to Fox, we'll finally have a separate brand because it's stupid what they're doing now. And if it remains that way, it's going to continue to be stupid. So
it's stupid.
Hopefully by October, we will have another draft.
Yeah.
To mimic what's happening in real life over there.
We'll see. Yeah, Turtle had us up in the WIP Studios. That was a lot of fun. Where he won the draft somehow, and then was it Brian Isley won the next year somehow? Yeah. And it's like it's our show, but yet
I know, right?
We're not picking us to win. I think
that's why they're just picking against us because they can.
No, this wouldn't be a show. You got to go through us. You got to go through us for the show.
Now, third time's the charm. So one of us has to win.
Well, I guess it'll be me next time. But speaking of topics, let's try to shift gears a little bit while we got a little bit of time left. Talk about some of our favorite pay-per-views of all time. I wanted to sneak this in here because, like I said earlier, I feel like we spent the last couple weeks on this show leading up to episode 200 just railing on WWE and wrestling and sometimes in general. And you would think that we hate wrestling as much as we talk about it in a negative light. But there have been some good times that we've had, specifically from, like, you know, pay-per-views, specifically from pay-per-views from various points of our fandom. And I'll start off with one that always sticks out to me. And we actually did a live commentary about this show. It was Backlash 2000. That's still probably, and you look at the card, it's probably like, you're like, what, X-Pac and Road Dogg versus Edge and Christian? That's not that great of a match. Like, that kicked off the show. Or it was APA versus Bull Buchanan and Big Boss Man. And I think Test and Albert was on the show somewhere. Test and Albert versus the Dudley Boys. That's what it was. But regardless, the main event made the whole show. And as me, being at that point, a 10-year-old wrestling fan, this is 2000, so I was actually 11.
Yeah, Mark.
And this is the first pay-per-view. Call me a Mark? That's not right. I was a Mark, though. I was a super Mark. And I'll tell you,
I'm a Mark now. It's okay.
But I was 10, I was 11 years old, and this is the first pay-per-view my mom ordered for me. She knew I was a wrestling fan, but I guess she didn't recognize how big of a wrestling fan I was until the 2000 hit, when I became obsessed. And I was obsessed before that. But she ordered this show. I remember watching it in my living room. And when The Rock beat Triple H and the whole thing happened with Steve Austin hitting everybody with chairs and all that stuff, I remember I had a water bottle. I picked it up and I threw it across the damn room. And pumped my fist like Jordan when he hit that shot over Elo in the playoffs against Cleveland. Like, yeah, yeah, Rock won, woo! And I was super happy. And it was a brand new day. And then The Rock lost the next month at Judgment Day. And I was like, damn, my whole moment was ruined. But no, it's still like a classic moment in my wrestling fandom. Backlash 2000. The outcome that should have been at WrestleMania 2000 wasn't. It was at Backlash. And it was great, because if it happened at WrestleMania, I wouldn't have seen it, because I didn't order WrestleMania that year. But I ordered Backlash, and I got to see one of the, probably that I would say the high watermark for Backlash history, if that's a thing. If you want to look in the illustrious history of Backlash, that match is like, the you know, set the bar high, in my opinion, for Backlash. So
yeah, that's a good Nick, one. Very good one.
Have a selection?
I'll kind of go in the same vein as when I was younger. I started watching when I was 12. I don't know why the hell difference. I was 12. 7-year difference. Like, what the hell? So when I was 5, 1990, I started watching. So fast forward to 1991, SummerSlam. I go over to my babysitter's house, big wrestling fan. That's how me and my sister got into wrestling back then. Her kids, big wrestling fans. Her family was big wrestling fan. So she had like a huge watch party for SummerSlam 91. And yeah, I was like Ultimate Warrior fan, Hulk Hogan fan, whatever. But the moment I remember, and I was the shy kid, and I never really broke out of my shell until high school anyway. But being, you know, like 6 or about to turn 6 at the time, I was watching SummerSlam over there. Bret Hart versus Mr. Perfect for the Intercontinental title. I still wasn't used to Bret Hart being a singles guy. And him getting Mr. Perfect to submit to the sharpshooter and win the Intercontinental title, everybody started cheering loudly. They were like jumping up and down, high-fiving each other. And I was just sitting on the floor, kind of just like looking at my parents like, what do I do? Like, I'm not this extroverted, like, you know, celebratory person, you know, like I'm reserved and shy. And so my parents, you know, are like, yeah, hey, get up, you're like, cheer, whatever. And so like, I stood up and I'm like, just looking around and I just start like jumping around like, yay. And I'm like, it's almost like Kel, Keenan and Kel. And I posted something on Twitter last night, a clip of the show that he was like dancing around because he stole Keenan's watch for his dad to fix and didn't tell Keenan about it. And It was just a hilarious episode. And then he starts dancing around whenever it's all revealed. That's what I looked like. I was just dancing around like a fool. And one of my first like favorite wrestling memories and that whole pay-per-view, that was the jailhouse match with like Big Boss Man and the Mountie, and the Mountie went to jail, and I was like, wow, jail's scary. Like, I never want to go to jail.
Jail's
like,
scary.
Like, you know, they had that, the dragon, Ricky Steamboat was on there. I always thought the thing with the fire was cool. You know, the main event I didn't really care much about, which is kind of crazy considering those are the two, Hulk Hogan and Ultimate Warrior.
Well, the main event wasn't that. The main event was the wedding.
Oh, well, come on.
That was the main event, fam. I'm sorry. That went on last.
That's fine. That's fine. you know, you had Sid Justice, you know, as the ref. And I remember, I was like, he looks familiar. But by that point, I hadn't watched WCW. So I had a trading card, actually, from old WCW guys. I actually had a Jim Ross one. Sid Vicious, Arn Anderson. So Sid Vicious, that's how I knew he was who he was, because I had a trading card of like old WCW guys. So, yeah, the wedding, the snake, Jake the Snake, gifted Macho Man and Elizabeth a snake, and that was interesting, and that actually started the storyline of Ultimate Warrior and Jake the Snake, you know, kind of coming together, and then Jake having his snake bite the Warrior, which was interesting, but then whatever, that didn't happen. So, yeah, SummerSlam 91, although not the best pay-per-view ever, one of my favorite pay-per-views ever.
SummerSlam 91, you said
Madison Square Garden.
Madison Square Garden. Didn't Bret Hart win the Intercontinental title on that show? I think you said that, right?
Yeah.
And Big Boss Man, Mountie.
That's the match where I came out of my shell for, you know, 2 minutes. Hmm. Bret Hart, I hated Mr. Perfect at that point. He was such a jerk. So for someone to finally beat him, for the Intercontinental title.
That wasn't his first loss, though, technically.
No, it wasn't, but
didn't,
you know,
somebody else beat him before that. I can't remember who it was, though.
Texas Tornado beat him the previous year in Philly at that SummerSlam, but then he won it back a few months later. So, you know, he had been champion for a long time. Yeah. So,
I'll throw out one more. I mean, WrestleMania 17 is up there. That's up there because, like I said, I'd never seen wrestling look so grand. It was in the stadium. That's the first time I've ever seen a stadium show live. But I think one that kind of gets forgotten, in my opinion, where the top two or three matches were really, really good. SummerSlam 2013 was a hell of a show. You had Bryan versus Cena for the title. That was a really good match. The Rock versus CM Punk was really good, too. And, of course, you had to finish with Randy Orton beating Bryan, which kicked off the Authority storyline. I don't really recall the rest of the show, honestly. but that was a really fun show. At least the last two or three matches were really good. But nothing really evokes that emotion and that memory that jars my memory as much as Backlash 2000 or WrestleMania 17. Not off the top of my head. I mean, WrestleMania 29 was special because it was the first WrestleMania I was ever at. But it wasn't like my favorite show. The show wasn't that good. So we had some people in the chat hit us up, though. And one of them said Starrcade 98. Which I don't think I've watched from start to finish.
Oh, wow.
I've seen Starrcade 97, but not 98. Somebody else said Survivor Series 98, Deadly Games. And we got some a recommendation of WrestleMania 2002 and WrestleMania 2004. So that would have been 18 and 20. 18 wasn't really... It was all right. I mean, you had one really, really good match, and the main event was good. Other than that, you could probably skip the rest of that show.
I mean, I don't think it's like bad.
I would say it's bad.
Those two matches were great, but I don't think maybe it's just I love the main event, and obviously Hogan and Rock. It's Hogan and Rock. I just think everything else on that card would have paled in comparison to that. That's why I think maybe I love the show top to bottom. So, I mean, it's not my favorite, obviously. 30, I like 30 more, even like 17 more, but 18 is a good one. 20 is a fantastic one.
No, 20, I didn't like 20 like that.
Yeah.
The main event was a classic. I thought the Kurt Angle Eddie Guerrero match is a forgotten classic.
Yes.
I thought Cena and Big Show was a fun match for what it was, but it also had one of the worst matches ever in Brock and Goldberg the first time around.
Yeah, but it was still expected.
It had some... WrestleMania 19 was 20 times better than that show. WrestleMania 19 was better than 18.
20
better. Than 20? I mean, no pun intended.
WrestleMania 19, I watched.
Underrated, man. Criminally underrated.
That was like kind of, so it was my senior year of high school, and I remember kind of being on the outs of wrestling. Like, I wasn't interested anymore for a while, and I wound up just ordering it. My senior trip was that week before that Sunday. I came home Saturday night from Disney World, and the next day I was just like, hey, Mom, like, can we order WrestleMania? And she's like, okay. You know, we could afford it at the time. I don't know how much it was. Maybe it was like 40. Maybe they upped it by then. But I don't remember if it was 4 hours yet or if it was three. But, you know, I taped it like I normally do whenever I ordered a pay-per-view. And I loved it. You know, like I love the field aspect of it. Just Safeco Field, it was different. You know, it wasn't just an outdoor stadium, it was an outdoor baseball stadium. Like, it was cool. And the lighting was different, which I thought actually added to it. And obviously it had Lesnar and Angle at the top and Jericho, HBK.
And the match that should have, the outcome that should have never happened, and that was Booker T and Triple H.
Yeah.
Triple H beat Booker T, but.
Biggest sore spot of that pay-per-view.
We don't have enough time to rail on that. There's a lot of so much other good stuff on that show that.
Yeah.
Can't let that outcome just ruin the rest of it, but
yeah,
still 19 is a very good show.
I'll tell you what many people probably think ruined the show, but I thought added to it tremendously, which makes it my favorite WCW pay-per-view ever.
Mm-hmm.
And that's Fall Brawl 1997.
Fall Brawl 97.
Kurt Hennig turned on the Horseman inside the cage, and they went up slamming Ric Flair's head in the cage. Obviously, I think that it was supposed to be gimmicked and he actually really got hurt, but he was back, you know, the next month. And the aftermath wasn't what it should have been, but in regards to Ric Flair and Kurt Hennig and that feud never had a chance once Flair wasn't going to be the one going over. But that whole angle, I think, was so great. And I've said before, 1997 and wrestling is my favorite year ever. And summer of WCW, summer 1997, has a lot to do with it into the fall. So Kurt Hennig comes in June. Ric Flair tries to court him into the Horseman. He's kind of like standoffish. They didn't really talk about their history in WWF together. They just said they know each other well. And they didn't talk about like how they feuded before. They just played up how friendly they were. And Rick obviously was friendly with him on screen the whole time. So finally, after convincing from Arn Anderson, Kurt Hennig takes that Horseman spot. The next week, the Horseman, NWO come out and mock the Horseman. And then you get Piper just putting the Horseman in the cage with the NWO. It's such a good angle. It's such a great angle. And then you have Kurt Hennig getting hurt backstage at the pay-per-view in a sling, and then he shows, you know, Flair outside that he's got handcuffs, that we're really going to kick the NWO's ass when I get in there. And then he gets in there, takes the handcuffs out. Now the audience knows what's happening because you couldn't see what he was showing Ric Flair on screen. And then, boom, he hits, like, Mongo with the handcuffs, hits Benoit, cuffs him up, beats up Ric Flair. You know, NWO wins. I forget who. I think it might have been Mongo that said, they quit, so they went and bashed Flair's head in the cage, and they did it anyway. And then Kevin Nash says "Death of the Horseman" in their backyard. Everything about that story is great. It's just the aftermath that sucked. So, and it's not just that. It's Eddie Guerrero versus Chris Jericho for the Cruiserweight title. That's a great match. You had like NWO, WCW battles with, you know, Lex Luger, Scott Hall, the Giant, and Scott Norton or Randy Savage. I don't remember which one. It's just like good matches, good angles, good storytelling, and it became my favorite WCW pay-per-view, and I didn't even see it live. I wound up having to wait until the WWE Network came in 2014 to watch that entire pay-per-view start to finish.
I don't know if I have a favorite WCW pay-per-view. Like one that sticks out like, oh, this is my favorite WCW one. Someone in the chat said ECW Heatwave 1998. That was a really good show.
It was.
I think that was a Taz Bam Bam second match, right?
Between them. Yep.
That also had, I want to say Hayabusa's on that show. I think. Let me look that up now, because I think I watched this show.
Maybe. I know he was.
I know Hayabusa's on the show. Let me look it up real quick before we wrap it up here for the night. But I think Hayabusa's on the show. Yeah, Hayabusa and Jinsei Senzaki versus RVD and Sabu. That was a really fun match, from what I remember. Hayabusa, before his tragic neck injury, was very innovative in his offense, very athletic, and him and Sabu and RVD in there, and Shinzaki as well. They had, from what I remember, a very, very entertaining match. Oh, Masato Tanaka and Mike Awesome. Oh, no. those dudes are crazy, and they tore each other apart in those matches. The main event was weird on the show. It was Tommy Dreamer, Sandman, and Spike Dudley versus the Dudley Boys in a street fight. So that was something. But yeah, that was a fun show. One of the better ECW pay-per-views. And another person said, Bash at the Beach,
1999.
Yeah, I do not remember.
Anything good in 1999?
I do not remember that show. I recall Bash at the Beach 2000.
Yeah.
When Booker T won the title.
Yeah.
But what was on Bash at the Beach 99? I do not recall this show at all. And let's see.
I would have had it. Oh, you know what? Let me guess.
Ernest the Cat Miller and Disco Inferno.
Let me guess the main event.
Okay.
While you see it. Tag team match: Sid and Randy Savage versus Kevin Nash and Sting.
Yeah, that's 100% correct for the world championship.
Yes. So whoever pins somebody would become the world champion. Mm-hmm. It was one of those. I forget who the world champion was then. But
according to Wikipedia, it was Kevin Nash.
Okay. And so did Savage pin him?
But somebody, I don't know who, Savage and Vicious won the match. I'm not sure if it says who actually walked out with the title. they say that on Wikipedia, at least.
That's funny, because I remember
Savage pinned Nash.
Wow, see? Like, I'm good. And the only reason I remember that is because I had a baseball game that night, and I was really mad because I was missing the beginning of it, but I was taping it. So when I got home, I think the main event was on, and that's what I remember the most about that pay-per-view.
Yeah, I don't think I've ever watched this show. But you also got Rick Steiner versus Van Hammer. I mean, I might have to watch it now. No Limit Soldiers versus the West Texas Rednecks. My God.
Rick Steiner, when it was like, he was the inverted Scott Steiner with the beard dye and all that stuff, like.
Boy, oh boy. On that note, let's wrap up episode 200 with some plugs, please. Nick, take us out.
Man, this was a lot of fun. 200 more, hopefully. We'll see.
You can
follow us at Nick Bacone. You don't follow us at Nick Bacone. You follow me at Nick Bacone. You can follow us at Shooters Radio on Twitter. And you could also like us on Facebook at facebook.com/straightshooters. Check out my stuff, this podcast, be on phillyvoice.com, phillyinfluencer.com, and wildfireradio.com. Vaughn's got that plug, but figured I'd say it anyway. And, you know, check out my Medium page, medium.com/epiconic. I wrote some things a while ago about WWE's creative misfires, so check that out. And we'll catch you next week. Go ahead, Vaughn.
We are on so many platforms: Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Stitcher, iHeartRadio, Spreaker, TuneIn Radio, Player FM, SoundCloud, Spotify, and the mothership, wildfireradio.com. Of course, if you're on YouTube, you've been checking us out this whole time. We appreciate you. If you haven't done it yet, please do. Go over to youtube.com so you can see our beautiful faces. just go on YouTube, search up the Straight Shooters podcast, comes right up. Also, Patreon, patreon.com/shootersradio to get some exclusive content for the nominal fee of $1.99. Again, we just recorded last week. We recorded did a live commentary of the 1994 King of the Ring final and the main event, actually. We did the main event too, which wasn't the King of the Ring final. It was a just weird match between Roddy Piper and Jerry Lawler. In the middle of the new generation, the main event of this pay-per-view was Roddy Piper and Jerry the King Lawler. And of course, like I said, we did the King of the Ring final, which was won by Owen Hart. And the event actually took place 25 years ago yesterday. So check that out. Patreon.com/shootersradio. You can get that content, get access to that content for the nominal fee of $1.99. I'm at Vaughn M. Johnson on Twitter. If you can't find me there, you can probably find me out here in these streets, as everyone knows, already know. The great listeners of the Straight Shooters podcast already know I'm out here in these streets. The thousands of you who listen to our podcast on all those platforms that I mentioned earlier. But for Nick McCone, and for everyone else that's been on the Straight Shooters in the past 4 years, the Straight Shooters family, so to speak, I'm Vaughn Johnson. Thanks for listening and watching episode 200 of the Straight Shooters. And join us again for hopefully 200 more. Y'all have a good one. See you next week.
Yes.
You've been listening to the Straight Shooters on Wildfire Radio. For advertising opportunities, contact Nick Picone via email at PiconeNick@gmail.com or call 856-625-1190.